Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. So glad to have you alongside today. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
Kay, again, I think we have another exciting guest that we're going to be interviewing today.
Yep, this person is somebody you don't hear from very often, but I think everybody's going to enjoy it for sure.
You bet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on Barbara Shanebein. Hello and welcome, Barbara.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, and hello to everybody who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, you bet. Barbara, what we'd like to start off with is having you talk to us about your vision loss. What was the cause? What was the result?
Okay, well, when I was about 7 years old, through kind of a series of inadvertent events, I was diagnosed with a disease called juvenile uveitis. It is something that affects just your vision. It's not like something that affects the rest of my health. And basically, that's an inflammation of the eye. And I went through a lot of doctors, specialists, medications, surgeries, a whole range of medical things for quite a few years, and my vision gradually lost one eye, then I lost the second eye. And when you get this disease, you can also get other eye problems. I had glaucoma, cataracts, detached retina, optic nerve damage. The list goes on and on. Anyway, by the time I was 21, I had no vision, and that's where I am today.
Okay, so you have absolutely no residual vision, no light perception or anything?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Now, Barbara, I had asked you this before the recording. Now, you explained that you were born in St. Louis, but just because I had asked you what was your nationality, and you kind of explained that. So for our listeners, even though you were born in St. Louis, and the reason why I raised the question and you explained, and what was the explanation?
I lived in Boston for a little over 5 years, and not because I tried, but I apparently still have some residual Boston accent. And from time to time, people will say something to me, and I just shake my head and say, oh, what can I say? I haven't been in Boston for 3 decades or something like that almost.
Yeah, okay, all right, well, that explains that. So all right, so Barbara, now you have some family. You like to share with us a little bit about your family?
We're not a close family overall. I have two sisters that I'm close to. My parents have passed, unfortunately. I have one sister who lives about less than a mile from me, and the other sister lives in Denver. I'm the middle sister. There's no brothers.
Oh, okay, good. So then, now, can you share with us, too, a little bit about your education, where you went to school, or did you attend college?
Yeah, I attended public school all the way through, and I went to, locally, we've been in Parkway School District, which would be known to the locals here in the St. Louis area, and then I went to the University of Missouri, St. Louis, where I got a bachelor's degree in business administration. And that's really I've had other educational little bits and pieces of things, but that's the bulk of it.
Okay. And have you been able to use that education towards a career?
Well, I don't know how much it helped or not. I mean, I did work for the federal government for over 32 plus years. I'm not sure whether that made a difference or not, but anyway, I certainly didn't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Okay, and what did you do for the federal government?
I was a tax law specialist with the Internal Revenue Service. This is a customer service job. And basically, my primary duty was to help with tax form preparation. I did a lot of different types of tax law. And so that's what I did. And then I retired, and I can say I'm a happy retiree.
All
Retired.
right. All right.
And
Oh, that's
so that's kind of my working career.
all right. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Kay, I'm going to pass it over to you.
All righty. So since Chip has covered your work history, your going to the education and all that kind of fun stuff, I will ask you, how in the world did you find out about MCB, and what led you to us? And then, well, we'll go from there.
I have been aware of MCB for quite a few years, but as a working person, full-time job, and those of you who have been working know what I'm talking about, you're limited to your time for other things. So when I was working, I had to make decisions how I spent my time outside of working. So I really didn't get involved with this, but once I got retired and was looking for other things to spend my time on, I decided I wanted to reconnect to what I call the blindness community. I hadn't really done much in that area before, and I thought that I would be best served to keep a foot both in the community at large as well as in the blindness community. So that's what led me to MCB.
Okay. You know what? There was one question that I forgot. Chip asked you about your family and everything else like that, but do you have any family, or are you married, or do you live by yourself, or what? I'm kind of regressing here, but I completely
Okay.
forgot that, and I was kind of curious. So.
No, I'm not married. I have no children. I live on my own. And so like I said, it's a from a family point of view, it's a very small number of people.
Okay, cool. No problem with that. Okay, so you found MCB, and my question now is, are you a member at large, or did you belong to an affiliate, or do you now?
I'm a member at large.
Okay. Have you ever gotten involved with anything at the officer level or anything else like that with an affiliate or anything like that?
No, I have not. I will tell you something that will may come up throughout this interview is someone told me well before I retired that she found the best way to handle her time was to not get too deep into lots of stuff, spend a few hours a day on this, a couple hours a day on that. In other words, just don't do one thing. And that stuck with me, and I have found that that philosophy, for the most part, is something that fits me.
There's nothing wrong with having a variety of interests and a variety of things that you do, because then nothing lets you down. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, there's just different things, especially if you're interested in, multiple hobbies or whatever. So that's good. And I understand exactly what you're saying. Chip, would you like to ask a couple of questions? I've got a couple of ideas here, and I'm going to formulate them.
Yeah, thank you. Barbara, I know that you have a great interest in legislation. What got you involved in the legislative process?
The voting. I got really upset with some voting issues for myself, where I had a few issues using the accessible voting machines. I got really upset with the fact that as a blind person, I wanted to be able to vote absentee, and the whole process in Missouri, at least, is completely inaccessible. So that really got me very unhappy when I
Yeah.
really thought about it. And so that's kind of led me into a number of things, some of which have turned out very well.
Yeah, good. I know one of the first times that you contacted me about legislation was over the accessible absentee ballot. And we tried to make that work. We still would like to see that happen. Other states have implemented that process. We would love to have that here in Missouri, where individual could cast their votes privately and independently within the comfort of their own home. Boy, wouldn't that be great if we could implement that process here in Missouri?
I would love it. I think actually it will happen. I am not predicting, what year, but I just think when we looked at some of the other more recent events with the Missouri politicians and their decisions, we have found that when they're really wrong, eventually the people win.
Yeah, and also, Barbara, you were instrumental in telling me about the League of Women Voters there in St. Louis. Now, you're still involved with them, right?
Very much so.
Yeah, good. And then, too, you and I actually met when you were the president of the Friends of Wolfner Library. I can't remember how many years ago that was, but at the time that you were president, I was also elected to serve on that board. It's been so many years ago, but I do remember that. Can you share with us your time being president of the Friends of Wolfner Library?
Well, like you said, it was quite a while ago. So I don't know how well my memory is on that, but I do, like most of us who are listening, I do read books, and I thought this was something that I could help with. And so I when they were solicited for board members, I just answered the solicitation and was asked to serve, and eventually got elected to the as president for, I think, one term, I think it was. Can't remember for sure. But it was a good experience for me. I learned a lot, and but I also realized that that was right for me then, and I needed to move on at some point, and that's what I did.
You know, I at the time that I was serving on the board of the Friends of Wolfner, I was always amazed that, you know, we worked very hard to try to get people to join the Friends of Wolfner, knowing how important it is to Wolfner Library. I don't hear so much about that. I still hear a little, but not as much as I used to. Do you still hear a great deal about the Friends of Wolfner?
No, I don't. I think one of the things that it doesn't what's what lead itself to participation, because really the only thing it does, unless it's changed, is allocate funds for the
Yes.
library for special projects, and
Yes.
that is all. That's all very good, but I'm just saying that doesn't really lead to a lot of participation, I don't think. That's just my personal view, and I hope it continues to help the library out as much as it can.
Now, did you ever serve a time on the Wolfner Advisory Council?
I did not, no.
Okay. I think I served about 8 years, and this was back in the early 2000s. So, and I always enjoyed doing that. And then that was at a time when Richard Smith was the director of Wolfner Library. So that takes us back quite a number of years ago. But all right, Kate, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. One actually that I always ask every person that's on this Meet the People, and that is, can you tell us something, Barbara, that only maybe your closest friends know, or that people might be surprised that you have either done or that you do? Maybe it could be a hobby, it could be anything. Just something that people might find of interest that nobody really knew about Barbara.
Well, there's possibly, Chip kind of alerted me to this question, so I gave it a little thought.
It's nice to have a heads up, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because you have to stop and think. Like I said, I've done a lot of things that maybe were one-time things or just for short term. I would say that probably nobody else would ever have guessed. I attended a women's football camp that was hosted by the St. Louis Rams. Now, I know the St. Louis Rams, and I'm among them, had left a lot of bad feelings, and we won't go there. But the last couple of years, they were here, and I don't even know how I found out about it. They invited women. You paid a small fee, and you attended about a half a day of football camp where you did football activities. And I did this. It was a very interesting experience. I contacted them and said, I'm blind. I'm going to need, you know, somebody to walk around with me and help. And they did. They provided somebody. And I got through the football camp, no injuries. And so anyway, I can tell you more about it. But anyway, that's probably something that not many people did. And I don't know if the Chiefs have something like that or not, but that's something a little different.
I think that's cool. I love asking this question because you never know what people are going to come up with. And it elicits some great responses. That's really awesome. I can see where that would be a lot of fun and just a completely different thing to do. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. Chip, if you would like to ask any questions, go ahead.
I want to hear more, a little bit more about that football camp.
I don't blame
you. Yeah. So what kind of things did you actually do?
Well, I'll give you an idea about the day. It was, like I said, about a half a day. When you came in, you got to walk around in the locker room a little bit. Of course, no, you know, the players weren't around. But and the weight room, take a peek in. And then they opened it up with, you had a brunch. And then a little speech by the medical staff. I guess they didn't want anybody to get hurt. And then you were divided up into groups. And I don't remember how. I think we were by colors, I think. But I can't remember for sure. And then you actually went out on the Rams practice field to loud music. And you did calisthenics, different exercises. So the woman was with me. She would tell me what was going on because, you know, there wasn't any verbal instructions. You were following what you saw up in the front. So anyway, so after you did that, and I kept up with that pretty good. And I'm not an athlete, but, you know, I just kind of figured I'd do the best I could and I took it that. Then you went inside and you had stations where you did different football activities. And I did all of them but one. I didn't do well at most of them, but that was okay. there was place kicking, pass throwing. The pass catching I didn't do. As you can imagine, if someone throws a pass to me, what would happen? But anyway, so I skipped that one. There was other types of exercises. There was a agility drill, like an obstacle course. And I did do that the first time I went through. And naturally, I fell and tripped. I had a lot of cushions. But and then I did, so I said the second time I went through a lot slower. They did time that. I did not ask what my time was. I didn't want to know. The thing I did the best on, they had a written quiz. I got 100% on that. And it was closed off with a, I'm trying to think, was there anything else? There was no prizes or anything. This was just for the fun of it. And so the teams rotated among these different stations. And then you closed off with a box lunch and a small goodie bag. And that was your day.
Huh.
Okay. So, Barbara, are you much of a sports enthusiast?
Yes, especially baseball. I am very deeply connected with the sport. I have been since I was a young teenager. And actually, my vision loss started it because when I was going through some surgery and I couldn't see anything, I listened to the radio. And this was back in the 70s. Before internet, of course, and my sister had the baseball game on, and so I started listening. And I've been a big baseball fan, of course, a Cardinals fan.
Okay, all right. So then, having said that, we will allow you to continue doing this interview.
Sounds good.
But So were you ever involved? Did you ever do anything like beeper ball or anything like that?
Yes, I did. Since I retired, I did. Play with a recreational team that we had here, and closed down a couple of years ago, but I did play with them, and we didn't travel or anything. It was just for recreation, and I did enjoy it.
Yeah. So tell us, Barbara, what is life like for Barbara Shane Bine? What is life, the day in the life of Barbara?
Well, it does vary. Obviously, there's baseball activities. I am a big animal person. For example, yesterday I did a volunteer stint at a local animal shelter. I usually socialize cats. They weren't wanting to be socialized yesterday, but that was okay. You learn a lot about pets when you're around as many as I've been. The range of personalities is something else.
Yeah.
Another pet related thing is I recently started something that I never thought I'd be involved with through the Consumer Product Safety Commission. I got connected to a group called ASTM, which stands for American Society for Testing and Materials, which is a big long word, but phrase. But basically what this group does, it's been around a long time, and they set voluntary standards on different things. And a lot of them were industrial, but they have a consumer products one. And I got myself signed up on the pet products task force. And our first task is dog toys. So I've been attending monthly meetings of this,
Oh,
and
okay.
a lot of different people involved. And we'll see what, this leads me. But it's been a very interesting thing.
Yeah, that's pretty fascinating.
I have found it just it we'll see where it goes.
Yeah,
And then
okay.
let's see. I go to yoga, attend a local place for yoga once a week, and sometimes I do yoga at home. I do weight training a couple times a week, just small sessions. It's more for just trying to keep me going since I'm not getting younger.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what else I do. I'm on a, I don't know if any of you have heard of Blind Cafe on the internet.
Yes,
Okay, well, I host, I of course participate in some of the games, but I also am a host for one of the games called Chain Reaction twice a month. So I do that. Let's see. I do a little bit of traveling. I haven't done a ton. I have done some. And of course, I've got a house. So anybody's got a house, you know that you spend time. The house takes time.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
Besides money, but it does take time. And so I've got some projects coming with that. And honestly, I listen to different podcasts of different things and my various sports programming. So that's some idea, what's going on.
Okay. Now, do you do much with the American Council of the Blind, with any of the community calls or any of its committees or anything like that?
Very little. I have listened to a few of the things occasionally, but no, not much.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, have you gotten more acclimated to MCB as a member at large with any of our services or programs?
I've used the adaptive technology grants a few times. Trying to remember what else. I've listened to some of the tech, the one you're currently in charge of, the was it ATI. I've listened to some of those programs. I would say those are probably the ones that jump out at me.
Okay.
Skip, if you don't mind, I've got a question that just came to
Sure.
me.
Yeah.
So I this comes to me because of the fact that you're a member at large, and it's a curiosity of mine as being president. Do you feel that as a member at large, you get all the information you would like, or do you feel that members at large are not getting the information that they should be getting?
That's really hard to judge because if you're not getting information, you don't know that you're missing it.
I understand that.
So I would say, I guess the one thing and I'm sure there's good reasons for it, but it's always puzzled me to some extent, why the members at large are at times left out of some stuff. And it doesn't bother me enough to change my membership, but I have noticed
Okay. That's just exactly what I wanted to know, because that's really the feeling I get. And I agree with you that you can't miss what you haven't seen, but at the same time, I feel like the members at large are not getting the information that maybe some of them want, and they don't know really how to get it. So we are working on that, and we're looking at having an announce list and things that are going to come actually to fruition right within the next day or so. But yeah, I'm glad you answered that question. I mean, because I thought, ah, here we have a member at large, and maybe you have an opinion as to what you feel or whatever. And I'm glad for the answer. Thank you.
No worries. I'm glad to share something, and hopefully, it can be part of a solution.
Barbara, when I first joined the organization back in 1990, the real reason I joined was, like so many others, for the socialization. And so I'm wondering, of course, I got more heavily involved as the years passed on, but have you done any socializing with anyone within the organization? Have you had that opportunity?
A little bit. Obviously I don't go to the, there's no meetings to attend. Okay, so but I'll, Wilma, as we know, is very enthusiastic about different programs. And so what did I do? I did recently, I'm trying to remember. Oh, it was the bingo. That's what I did. So I did attend the bingo, and for those that probably don't know, today is Valentine's Day, and she has a program today that I'll be attending later on today. So I've done some.
Very good.
Yep, I saw her at the bingo. Oh, it was one event. I don't know if it was bingo or not. Yeah, it must have been. Okay, anyway. But yeah, it was good to see you too.
Well, Barbara, in closing, do you have any words of encouragement that you would like to share with our listeners? Maybe someone that's newly blind or someone that's been blind for an extended period of time and has really never adjusted to their vision loss.
I guess two things come to mind. One is, and I know everybody's personality is different, so take that with that in mind. I think I don't really care what the side of the world thinks about me as a blind person. If it bothers them, well, I'm sorry it bothers them, but I'm blind, I'm here, and if you don't like it, well, I'm sorry, but I'm going on. The second thing is that I will, as you can tell from some of the things that I've told you, I will try stuff. I do give it, I don't just try anything at random. I do think of things that both I will enjoy and I have a reasonable chance of succeeding. But I do try things, and sometimes when you contact places and say, hey, I'm blind, sometimes you will get, nothing, nowhere. But other times it does work out. So try things. And I would say, two of you know this as well, there is quite often a solution to get most of what you want done. Not every time. I mean, you and I know we can't be driving, flying an airplane, or performing surgery, or a number of other things, but there's a lot of ways to get the task done. And just because you don't know that right now, there, you need to be think out of the box, and you'll find it. That's my life experiences.
Thank you for those encouraging words. I really appreciate it. And I love it that you've not allowed your blindness to keep you from trying different things. I know there's sometimes maybe challenges and stuff, but that's okay. But don't let your blindness keep you from trying. So do you use a lot of technology, with the different things that you do?
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference, and I encourage anybody who hasn't dipped their toe into technology or have just barely touched it to really spend some quality time learning it. I do have the usual suspects. I have an Echo and a computer and a laptop and an iPhone, and so I know Braille. I do read Braille, so all those things contribute to my ability to get things done, in a more effective way and to have access to a lot more. And I want to say, you know, something that you said earlier, you know, I've tried stuff that didn't work. You know, I've tried, you know, I try contact somebody and I want to try something and it failed. And I just let it go. You know, I didn't beat my head on the, you know, scream or anything like that. I just moved on to something else, even though I was disappointed. So just because it doesn't work with one time, try something else, try a different location, try a different set of people. You'd be surprised how it works more than you might expect.
Yes, I certainly do agree. You can't let failure defeat you. You fail, you keep trying, you keep moving, keep going. Don't let failure defeat you. Barbara, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. It's been really great.
Well, thank you so much for, again, for the invitation. And I'm sure I'll be speaking to you guys and others in the very near future.
Yep, you bet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them contact me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or you can contact me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. So until next time, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Be especially nice to that sweetheart. Bye-bye for now.